Praise the Lord to everyone. So today I want to meditate on the subject of the rich young ruler. So can you all please turn to Mark Gospel chapter 10. Mark Gospel chapter 10, 17, from 17 to 31 verses. So I want to read from 17 to 31. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about, and said unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus, looking upon them, said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." Then Peter began to say unto him, "Lo, we have left all and have followed thee." And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first." May the Lord bless this word. The quick word of prayer. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this word you have given unto us. We praise you, worship you. Lord, thou may help us, lead us, guide us to understand thy word. Lord, seek the help of the Holy Spirit of God. We commit these things into thy hands and ask this prayer in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, from this passage that we read, we are familiar with this passage. We know all that about the rich young ruler. So we have this recorded in New Testament in three Gospels, like Matthew 19:22. Matthew says, recorded him as young man, this person as young man. And Luke 18:18. Is recorded as he's a ruler. And in Mark, we see that he's a rich man. So he's a rich young ruler. And this is very important passage that we have all the important things addressed here. Like we have about eternal life. Jesus Christ was talking about eternal life. And the kingdom of God, and following the Christ. So we see this rich young ruler, he came to Jesus running and he knelt before him. He has everything, like he's in right age, young, he got riches, he got great positions, and he has influence as a ruler, and he has everything the world values. When world sees, looked at him, world says he got everything. But when from heaven, if they look at him, something is lacking. Something is lacking. He's searching for something. He want to get it. He knows that something is missing in his life. So we see there is an emptiness in his heart. There is an emptiness in his heart. And in God's word, it is recorded that in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, that God has put that eternity in man's heart. The vacuum is there. So that vacuum has to be filled by God himself. Otherwise, they feel empty in their hearts and keep searching for things to fulfill that it's a vacuum. So we see this guy has everything, but he does not have the assurance of having that eternal life in his life. From outside, he was okay. If you see from outside, he was having everything. But when you see inside, there is an emptiness. So that's why he came running to Jesus. We see almost seven things here. He got right things in his life. He's at a very young age. That is at the right time of his life. So this is the young age is very important in one's life. In young age, we have more energy, more strength, and more courage. So whatever decisions you take in this at that young age, that will influence our life. So this man is at the right age and is coming to Lord Jesus Christ. It is good for a young man to bear the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in all the scriptures, God was calling young people to serve him. We see Samuel when he was child, he was called. David was called when he was shepherd at the young age before he became the king of Israel. And Jeremiah was also called when he was young. Timothy was also called at the childhood. So this young age is very important, but many young people, they may think that we have a lot of time to accept the Lord, to serve the Lord. So they are not very serious about accepting the Lord or serving the Lord. We do not know the time and period what we are living in. So it is very important to come to the Lord at very young age and serve the Lord. And some may think we can serve the Lord after we retire. It's very easy. We don't have anything to bother. We can sit, relax, and then serve the Lord. But, you know, at that very age, our old age, we're not so active like at the young age. We can be always active, I'm not saying that, but when we wait upon the Lord, we also already heard in the conference, When we wait upon the Lord, we become young. So age is not the criteria, but we can feel the age when we are growing old. You know, the mobility, the body is not supporting us to move fast, you know. So it is very encouraging and good thing for a young man to come to God, to come to Lord at that age. Because in God's word also we see Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth. So it is good for a young man to remember the Creator, his Creator, at the very young age. In that young age, people hear two voices. One is the voice of Jesus Christ, and the other voice they hear is of the enemy. Jesus Christ says, follow me. World says, or the enemy says, follow yourself. Follow me. Jesus Christ says, follow me to give us the eternal life. But the enemy calls towards and destruction. So this is the important stage of anyone's life in the young age, to come to Lord, to follow him and receive eternal life. Some young people, they like to admire some celebrities. They want to have some heroes to follow. Some sportsmen, they have that model to follow. Who can be our greatest leader or a hero to follow is our Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, the celebrities, they grow old, they fade away. The sportsmen, they retire. Kings, they die. But our Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest leader we can follow. Because he said, I am the bread of life. I am the true vine. I am the way. I am the life. I am the eternal life. I am the resurrection. I am the good shepherd. Oh, I died, but I am living evermore. So he's our greatest leader that we can follow in this world. So young life is very important to come to Lord and accept the Lord. He came at the right age of his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, he came within his right position as a ruler. As a ruler, he came to Lord Jesus Christ. So a ruler can influence his people in his country, the region he's ruling. Once upon a time, there was an emperor called Constantinople. He was a Christian. So during his rule, he encouraged the believers to gather and worship and pray, and he built many churches and encouraged many to come to Lord Jesus Christ. So as a ruler, he can influence more people to follow Jesus Christ. Even we also can influence others. Parents can influence their children. Teachers can influence their students. Employers can influence their workers. So we can also influence other believers. Older believers can influence younger believers. as we know from God's word, Joseph influenced Egypt. Daniel influenced Babylon. Nehemiah influenced Jerusalem. Esther influenced the entire nation. So as a young man and as a ruler, he could have influenced many people. He could have followed Jesus Christ. The greatest leaders are not those who command others. The greatest leaders are who first bow before God and then make others to follow Jesus Christ. So we see, secondly, he came in a right position as a ruler. And thirdly, he came in right status. He got great positions. He's a rich man. So Jesus never condemned being wealthy or a wealthy man. Abraham was wealthy. Job was wealthy. And Boaz was wealthy. Even in Luke 8:3, we see Joanna, the wife of Herod steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. So if we are rich as a believer, we can be a blessing to many other believers. Paul, in Romans 12:8, he says, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. God delights in generous hearts." Believers, if they are rich, they can build churches, they can print Bibles, they can support missionaries, they can feed the hungry, and can be a blessing to many other believers. So this young rich ruler, he came with a right status, right position. First we see he came at the young age, at the right age. He came as a ruler with influence. And he came, fourthly we see he came in right action. In right action, he came running towards Jesus. He came running towards Jesus. He's not simply slowly coming and slowly walking. He ran towards Jesus, that I should not miss this opportunity to meet Lord Jesus Christ. If I miss this opportunity, I will never get this opportunity. You see? Seeking the presence of Lord Jesus Christ. We see the presence of Lord Jesus Christ in Psalm 16:11. We see in thy presence is fullness of joy. When we come into the presence of the Lord, we have the fullness of joy. The greatest thing is not the church or the building, or is not the music that we hear in the church. Where two or three gather, he said, I am there. So the presence of Lord Jesus Christ, that is there, where there is fullness of joy. And in Psalm 122 and 1, we see David says, I was glad when they say unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. See, when somebody says, let us go to the house of the Lord, David says, I was very glad to hear that and go with the saints into the presence of the Lord. So there is a joy, the fullness of joy, in the house of the Lord. in the presence of the Lord. When Abraham left Lot, he settled in the plains of Mamre. You know, when he settled there in the plains of Mamre, first thing what he did was he built an altar. He built an altar to God. He started worshiping there. Then we see in Genesis chapter 18, verse 1, then he met with the Lord. And Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the days. He was sat in front of the door. Then Lord appeared unto him. Abraham met the Lord in the plains of Mamre. In that same place, he also received the promise of Isaac. Isaac is going to be born to you, to Sarah. So he received that blessing in the plains of Mamre. And also from that place, he prayed for the rescue of Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah. So this is the place where Abraham had the worship, the presence of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord or the promise of the Lord, and the intercession of the Lord. This is the presence of the Lord where there is the fullness of joy and the fatness of the Lord, of the presence of the Lord. So when we come to the presence of the Lord, or we come to the fellowship of the Lord, we will have experience of all these things in our lives. And we can enjoy His presence. And then he came with the right attitude. And he came with right attitude. How he came? He came running and then he knelt down before Lord Jesus Christ. He knelt down. He has that humility. We observe a young man, a rich man, and a ruler who is coming running towards Jesus Christ and kneeling down before him publicly. How much humility he has. So Lord, we have that word in James 4:6 that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So he was so humble that he knelt before Lord Jesus Christ publicly. He came, we see all these things, he has right things in his life. He approached Lord Jesus Christ at the right age, at the right time, with the right position, with the right status, and with right attitude. Humility is the attitude of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am meek and lowly. I am meek and lowly. So this King of Glory wrapped himself with the towel and he started washing the feet of his disciples. Can we imagine the Creator washing the feet of the creation? How much humble he is, how much humility he has. We see Lord Jesus Christ, and amazingly, when Peter, he wrote in his letter that we have to clothe ourselves with this humility. It is not the human way of humility. It is the divine humility we have to wear. He says it's a cloth we have to wear. We can wear new clothes. But this garment is different. The cloth of humility. Meek and lowly. How water flows? Water flows from high places to lower places, right? When there is slope. The more the slope, the more the speed of water comes down to that slope. So similar way, the blessings will come when we humble ourselves. So Lord Jesus Christ, he humbled himself not only before the creation, but to the Heavenly Father on the cross of Calvary. He humbled himself unto the death. Unto that much lowly he went. So obviously the blessings also will be more on him. How? Means his name was made higher than above every name. He's gone, he became down and then he's gone right away and to the top. For what? For what? So that the all things were in heaven, on earth, under earth, all should bow down before his name and confess his name that he is the Lord. See, that much powerful name our God has made, especially because he was humbled himself so much before the Father. Now, this young man, he came again with right question. Right question. This rich young ruler, he came with the right question, asking that, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Sorry. He did not come to ask Lord Jesus Christ, how I can become more successful in my life. Or he did not come to Lord Jesus Christ, how I can earn more money. How can I protect my future? I want to continue to be as a ruler only. No, but the greatest question anybody can ask is, how shall I inherit eternal life? This is the, many people ignore this question. But this is a very important question, that how shall I inherit eternal life? Daniel 2:12-2 says, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. See, this young person, he knows that grave is not the end of the life. There is life after death. Maybe he read these verses from Daniel chapters. We don't know. He knows that there is another life after this life. He came with the right question to Lord Jesus Christ. So who can answer all our questions in our life? We may have a lot of questions about eternal life, about born again, about rapture, the judgment of God. Who can answer all our questions? It is only Lord Jesus Christ who can answer all our questions. And lastly, this guy has come to the right person who can answer all his questions. Many people, if they have questions, they go to books. Or they go to some saints to ask. Or they see some scriptures. Or religious books. John Gospel chapter 5 verse 39, Lord Jesus Christ, he said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." You go to scriptures and see, read the scriptures, understand the scriptures. They all point towards me. You think those books have eternal life? No. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that he has that eternal life. So who is the person we can trust and go to him to get our answers? Who is the right person we can trust upon is our Lord Jesus Christ alone. So this guy has done all these things in right way. And he came to Lord Jesus Christ with right question. Then Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus knows this person, not only outside, from outside, but inside also. He knows what is his questions inside his heart. What is his struggle inside his heart? Who is trusting him from his heart? Because in John Gospel chapter 2, 24 and 25, we see that, "But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." Jesus Christ knows everybody. He knows every man. No need to go and tell him that this person is like that, this person. No. Everything he knows. So looking at his situation, though he was not ready to part his riches or leave his riches, Jesus Christ, he looked at him and loved him. My dear friends, who can love us like that in this world? A human love is a limited love. First it starts with ourselves, then our family, our fellowship, our group. It cannot go beyond that. But our Lord Jesus Christ, he loved so much. It is infinite love. We may have so many failures in our life. We may not be successful. We may not serve the Lord how he is expecting to do. But still, he loves us. That is his nature. He's loving us with his eternal love. Sometimes we may think that people are ignoring us. They offend us. And we may feel that nobody is caring us. We are alone in this life. We have many struggles. We have many silent prayers. We have many tears in our eyes. Who is looking at us all this time? He loves us. Lord Jesus Christ, he looked at us. He's looking at us and he's loving us. Isaiah 46:4 says, "And even to our old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry. I will carry you upon my shoulders." He is our great good shepherd. Great good shepherd. When we are hurt, when we are wounded, he will come and lift us, take us, put us on his shoulders, and he will carry us to his home to heal us. Even at the old age, until the end of the life, until end of this age. So who can love us like that in this world. So this rich young ruler, he came with the right attitude, right status, and he's not able to accept Lord Jesus Christ. We see his situation is comparing, Lord Jesus is comparing it to as a camel. Camel going through the eye of a needle. It's very interesting comparison, illustration, Lord Jesus Christ says. So sometimes back in Jerusalem, it was told that there was a big gate to enter Jerusalem, and there was a small gate to that. Because of security purposes, in night times, the big gate will be closed, and only the small gate is opened. And whoever visitor come, they have to squeeze through that small gate. So that is called as a eye of a needle. So when camel comes there, it cannot enter. It cannot enter. That's why Lord Jesus Christ, he gives this example with a largest animal. He's not say some squirrel or something small animal can go inside easily. Largest animal. Even if it is starving, fasting, and reduce some weight, it cannot enter that needle, eye of a needle. So that's where he says, compares the rich man, it is very hard. Not only hard, humanly it is impossible. Impossible. At least that has to squeeze through that door, or we have to make that door big. Otherwise, it cannot enter. Will that be possible by a man to increase that, brought that door? Humanly impossible. If it has to go inside, like it has to bend down on the knees, the camel has to bend down on the floor, unload everything, and squeeze through the door, or crawl through the door. It is not possible. So riches are coming in the way of a rich man. Riches are blocking to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I think the obstacle is not the riches, but the heart in which he is trusting. His trust is on his riches. His heart is trusting his riches. I think that is the obstacle. The camel represents that everything man relies upon, a wealth, an achievement, a pride, self-righteousness, and a religion. Camel is like that, big obstacle. And the needle is an entrance into the kingdom of God. All these characteristics are the characteristics of an old man. Old man means Adam's man. So Adam cannot enter into God's kingdom. The nature of Adam cannot enter into God's kingdom. It has to be outside only. Outside God's kingdom. Somebody prayed this morning that only new creation enters into the kingdom of heaven. New creation. Even small thing like it becomes an obstacle to enter into the kingdom of God. That's why the disciples were astonished. Oh, then how can anybody get saved? Because the Israelites or Jews, they believe that if they are rich, that is the blessing coming from the Lord. If Abraham was rich, that means he was blessed by God. If we say that rich man cannot enter into kingdom of God, then who can be saved. That's why, humanly it is impossible, then he is diverting that focus from man to God. With man it is impossible, but with God it is possible. God can make things happen. It is in the hands of God who can make things happen. Like Proverbs 21 and 1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water he turneth it whitherso his will. God can turn the ways of rivers and the heart of men. How can a rich man can enter into God's kingdom? Only God can change. It will happen through, it is God's work. Salvation is from the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Only God can change. Either he can expand the kingdom of God or make the camel to squeeze through the kingdom of God. He can change the heart of men. He can break the chains of greediness. God can break the chains of greediness and make him to trust more than, make him to trust on God more than his wealth or his riches. You know, salvation is of the Lord. You can see the life of Zacchaeus, how he was changed when he encountered Lord Jesus Christ. Who told him to part his riches to others? This is the miracle of grace of God. It is the miracle of the grace of the God. Because with our own efforts, we cannot enter. Camel kneeling down, unloading everything, crawling. These are all the works, the efforts of human efforts. With human efforts, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We are saved by his grace. We are saved by his mercy and his faith. Faith upon him. So let's not boast on the things, on the works we do. So it is the purely the grace of God that we can enter into the kingdom of God. And kingdom of God, it's not a thing that what we think normally. It is Jesus Christ alone. Kingdom of God is possessing Jesus Christ, winning Jesus Christ alone. Some may say kingdom of God is like Christ plus something. Christ plus wealth. Christ plus reputation. Christ plus influence. No, Christ alone himself is the kingdom of God. We cannot add anything to that. It will not qualify. We are looking for more qualification to enter into the kingdom of God more than Jesus Christ. It is Christ himself alone. And here, Lord Jesus Christ, we see he's inviting him to follow him. Many focus on sell what we have. Sell everything what you have. But then Jesus said, follow me. Follow me is an invitation to have relation with Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life is not something that is achieving at one time. It is continuous fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Follow me, following Jesus Christ. In John Gospel chapter 17 verse 3, he says, And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So eternal life is nothing but Jesus Christ himself alone. It is required that we need to have continuous fellowship with Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ looked at that young rich ruler. He loved him and he said, follow me. Follow me. That means this is not the end of your life. You can sell your riches and give it to others and go back. But still, then you will not get eternal life, but you have to follow me. There is a continuous relation with Lord Jesus Christ. That is the partaking in the eternal life. Jesus Christ himself is the eternal life. So now we see the disciples had a lot of things they came to know about the eternal life, the kingdom of God, and the rich man entering into the kingdom of God. Now Peter says, Lord, then what we will get? We have left everything and we are following you. Then Jesus promised to them that they will receive a hundredfold blessings. The hundredfold blessings may include greater inheritance, the rich purpose of Lord Jesus Christ, a deeper joy, a full communion with Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ himself becoming our inheritance. Christ himself becoming our inheritance. Then he goes on to say, you will receive all these blessings hundredfold, but it will also include persecution. It will also include persecution. So kingdom of God contains both cross and crown. Both cross and crown. So Lord Jesus Christ, he clearly told that to enter into the kingdom of God, you will have to have persecution also. And then he goes on to say, first shall be last and the last first. So rich young ruler, he at the beginning he looked like he was at the first place. He was a rich man, he got a good influence, he's at the young age, he came with the right question, he came to a right person, but then he walked away empty. He walked away empty. He was just admiring Lord Jesus Christ as a good master, as a good person, but he's not accepting the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ invited him to have fellowship with him. He was not ready to leave his riches. He was not ready to part his riches to others. He was trusting the riches. His heart is on his riches. Whereas the fisherman, Peter, and other disciples, they were uneducated. They were not important in the society. They became the pillars of the kingdom of God. So the first shall become last, and the last shall become the first. The foolish will become wise. Weak becomes mighty, despised becomes chosen. So the kingdom of heaven reverses the values of earth. Those whom we think they are great saints in the beginning, we never know they can become the last person. Those who are despised, those who are unwise, those who are weak, they will become the first in the kingdom of God. Kingdom is reversing the rules of this world. So who is the greatest treasure that we can possess? Who is the greatest treasure? This rich young ruler, he is not breaking the last commandment from the Ten Commandments. What it says, you shall not covet. He's not breaking that law, but he's breaking the first law. What is that? You shall not have other gods before me. So a person cannot serve two masters at one time. Either you serve God or you serve the mammon, riches. So wherever your treasure is there, your heart is there. So this young person, the rich young ruler, his riches, so his heart is with his riches, not with the Lord, not with the God. He's followed everything, all 10 steps, but miserably failed in one. So kingdom of God is not a checklist. You can checklist and do, okay, I have done it, my job is done. This is my religion, this is the way I follow. Now I am ready to enter into the kingdom of God. No. So on his heart's throne, who is sitting? His riches are sitting. He cannot leave his riches. So who is our greatest treasure we can have in our life and make him the king of our heart's throne? If somebody find any precious jewel in his field, what he does? First thing, he will sell everything what he has, and then he'll try to go and buy that field or buy that precious stone. That is the important thing. That desire should be there in our hearts to possess. First thing, we have to realize who is the real treasure. Who is the real treasure? The real treasure is our Lord Jesus Christ. Is our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think he was a poor man? He was so rich man, in heavenly places. We see in Philippians chapter 2 verse 9. And 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. He's a rich man more than anybody else. All this whole world belongs to him. You see how many jewels, precious stones, how much gold, how much silver in this world? That all belongs to God. He's so rich, you cannot never imagine. But he became poor for us, for our sake. He came down and offered his life. That's a great exchange. He offered his life so that we can become rich, so that we can become citizens of his kingdom, so we can receive his eternal life. We can go to the place where he is. So our Lord Jesus Christ is our great treasure we can possess. May the Lord bless this word and help us to follow him.